What NFC North rookie might make for a sharky start in week 3? Who are the tight ends to plug into your lineup if Dalton Schultz can't go Monday night? And what's the reason we let Amon-Ra St. Brown slip so far in FFPC drafts this season? Plus, the Football Guys Players Championship week 2 second place team owner Jamie Cox joins us to give us his take on Kenneth Gainwell's role on your roster, when Devontae Parker needs to be cut loose from your squads, and so much more. We've got a great show for you tonight. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Damn the pressure. I've seen greater men than need a lesson.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man nobody ever told me what a man was.
Thank you so much, Rob. Welcome. Greetings and salutations to all of you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. I am, of course, your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. My co-host is the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. Coming up on tonight's show, we're going to analyze whether it's time to get Jacoby Myers in your starting lineups and start sitting Darnell Mooney. Plus, the 2022 Football Guys Players Championship Week 2 second place team owner Jamie Cox is going to join us. He's going to grace us with his presence. We're going to talk to him a little bit about Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, Mac Collins as maybe an emergency replacement for Hunter Renfrow, who's going to miss this week, and much more. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, the show is at HSFFHour. I am at Eric Balkman. You can always check out Farrell's Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at KFFSC.com. Facebook.com/HSFFHour is where to reach us on that social media platform. You can also email the show, highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions for us, now's the time to send them. We'll try to get to all the chat room questions, all the tweets, all the emails in the fantasy feedback segment coming up later on in the show. Thanks to our audio engineer, my best friend Bryce, and our producer and mutual friend Rob. I want to introduce you guys to something I don't think we talked about at all last week because we just launched it earlier this week at the FFPC. It's called the FFPC Weekly Challenge. There's no draft for it. There's no salary cap. You just choose 10 players or 12 players, depending on if you're playing the classic or the slim format in this. By Sunday's kickoff, 1 p.m. Eastern time, and then watch them ride throughout the weekend's games. If you say, Balky, this format sounds familiar, yes, it's the world-famous FFPC Playoff Challenge format. Only one player per NFL team. You can play the classic or the slim for $35 or $200, and you can win up to $10,000. These are 30-team and 150-team contests with kickers and defenses or without. We leave that up to you. You make that decision. Check that out at myffpc.com. Those are filling up and will fill up all the way to kickoff on Sunday. We did a RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown this past week with Andrew Geller, @_guilds on Twitter. Really entertaining stuff. We might have gone all over a full hour. We both had a lot to say after week 2 was over and heading into week 3. So check that out. We'll tell you who's coming up next week on the show at the end of the broadcast tonight. And remember to like, subscribe, comment, share, and get notified on all these videos. And you'll be able to make sure you never miss when the FFPC YouTube channel goes live like it did today for the FFPC Week 3 preview with our guy Aiden LaCorey and Dave Terpoli, both previewed Week 3 from an FFPC standpoint. If you didn't get a chance to check it out, just go on the FFPC YouTube video page, youtube.com/FFPC Fantasy. It's right up there on past live streams, and you can check that out. Very easy, very bite-sized, very informative, and will help you set your lineups, no doubt, if you are playing in the FFPC, which I think a lot of you are. Let's bring in our co-host with the most, the commissioner of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, Farrell Elliott. Farrell, welcome. Happy Friday to you, my friend.
Buddy, it's good to see you. And I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of FFPC content being put out and by the gentleman you mentioned, it's quality content. However, I must point out that my agent has been contacted for no engagements at all in this new format. It looks like I'm stuck here with you, Balky, exclusive to you, sir.
We are the not quite ready for primetime podcast host. So that's why we come on at 10 o'clock at night. And those guys are winning all the daytime Emmys for the podcast.
Well, I tell you what we do have is the best damn guest. That's what we have. We have the guest.
Yeah.
And we got one tonight.
We do. And he's crushing it this year. He's coming up in about 10 minutes. His name is Jamie Cox. And he will tell us how he's gotten all the way up to second place in the Football Guys Players Championship. Before we can do that, Farrell, I do want to get to – this isn't really breaking news, but I do want to get your opinion on some of the news we saw from the injury report around the NFL this past week. And we'll just go rapid fire on this. But Justin Herbert, the Chargers opened up as 10-point favorites at the start of the week against the Jags. And now they are just 3-point favorites at home against Jacksonville. Herbert did not throw on Wednesday. He threw on Thursday. He did not throw on Friday. He's dealing with fractured rib cartilage. It's a pain tolerance issue. Herbert said we'll see on Sunday, and it sounds like we will all see on Sunday whether he's ready to go, because it seems like a coin flip right now. How do you read this situation? And if Herbert's out, are you downgrading any of your Chargers skill position players to your bench this week?
Oh, certainly you would have to, and you would have to elevate Austin Ekeler. If he is out, that brings in Chase Daniel, a competent but not a electric or inspiring choice to play quarterback. So I would lean very, very heavily on my Ekeler in that offense. Defensively, that team has stepped it up this year, and I believe they can handle Jacksonville in the game. However, less first downs, less time on the field for the offense. Jacksonville is yet, their young quarterback, Lawrence, is yet to win a road game. He's 0-9 on the road, and it's a very, very tough place for him to start to get a win. So a lot to be determined, a lot of intrigue there with this team.
And we'll find out. That is a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, if I remember correctly, right, Farrell?
I believe the game is on the West Coast. Let me check my notes here. So if
So you're probably right. It probably is a 425.
Yeah, that's why it's a road game. Yeah. He's 0-9 in road game. So he once again, and they won't start it at 10 a.m. out there. They just won't do it. So
now I wouldn't want him starting it at 10 a.m. Central Time or 10 a.m. Eastern Time, quite frankly, either. Which, by the way, we have the Packers coming up in London this year with a 9:30 Eastern Time kick.
You'll be okay.
And here's the thing, is my local radio station has already required me to make an appearance at a local bar that will be opening up at 6 a.m. local time with live music and cocktails flowing as we get ready for the Packers in London. Very excited and yet not very excited for that.
I'm sure the diocese in Green Bay will close the churches as well.
No doubt. I mean, I think that's a law. That's part of the bylaws here in Northeast Wisconsin. Josh Jacobs, what do you make of this? He didn't travel with the team to Nashville. He has an illness. He's listed as questionable. Obviously, the Raiders could still fly him over later. But, Farrell, what's your read against this? Because now we're looking at Brandon Bolden, maybe Zamir White in a good spot start here in Tennessee for your Las Vegas Raiders.
And many of the people that drafted Jacobs also snagged White. And so if they did, it's a player to get in the lineup. It's very disappointing because you begin to think that this would be the game where things would even out for Jacobs and he could find the end zone. It's a disappointing situation, especially with what's going on in their wide receiver core as well.
I think that if you have Zamir White, you're playing him, obviously, if Jacobs out. The question is, if Jacobs is active, what kind of a snap share would there be? And I'm not messing around with Zamir White at that point. That's just,
well, many of the players, after August 1st drafted Josh Jacobs as their number three running back. So considering that they're healthy in other places, they should be okay with Jacobs on the bench and no White in the lineup. The other guys that may have a different mix may have different decisions to make.
George Kittle was not even on the final injury report for the Niners. We're starting him on Sunday night. So thrilled that I waited for George Kittle on Sunday Night Football rather than start David Njoku last night. That was another genius decision by the Balkmeister. But I digress. Nobody wants to hear about that.
I do. I'm very interested in hearing stuff.
I think the rest of it I think the rest of it we will get into. Oh, are you concerned with TJ Hockenson with this hip injury? He got in 3 limited practices. I'm starting him. I think he's going to be good to go. The total on the game's like 52 and a half. So
Hockenson's been playing like he's compromised somewhat physically or the odd man out in the offense since the season started. I would be curious to know how long he's been nursing this. Did he aggravate it? Is it a new injury? I have Hockenson on one team, and it is a Sunday head scratcher all day. Mm-hmm.
What about Jerry Jeudy in that Sunday night game? He got in a practice today, but the beat reporter said it was just sort of stretching the individual drills. Is he worth the wait on Sunday Night Football? I know it's kind of roster dependent, but what's your feeling on Jeudy right now?
You have to be patient, and many of the drafters did stack multiple Denver receivers, and the receiver that will emerge in this game is Hamler, and I expect Hamler to get the opportunity and run with it in this game. And Denver's got a lot more problems about than just which wide receiver lineup. They've got to get their offense moving, their offense running. Hamler could create rhythm with the quarterback, so I would be that would be the guy I would turn to if I didn't have better options to fill in for Jeudy.
All right, that is the late breaking stuff I have. Okay. So let's get into my gaffe last night with David Njoku. Kevin Stefanski said that coverage schemes are going to dictate David Njoku's involvement in the passing offense this year. Quote, Stefanski, we have talked about it. There are games where coverage dictates the ball goes elsewhere and he blocks his rear end off. Njoku, 10 targets, 9 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. He ran a route on 63% of the dropbacks against the Jets. And then this week, 87.5% route participation. I don't really know what to make of this, Farrell. Is he simply, are we going to know going into the week what coverage the defense is playing against him? I feel like we're not going to know that until the game kicks off. There's no way to like, at least there's no way for me to have any insight on it. And I feel like you're rolling the dice every time Njoku goes out there. Stefanski just said it. Some games he's going to be awesome. Some games he's going to be a blocker.
The coach may talk a little too much. I wonder who coach thinks he's talking to. This is if he does mean this, then he is a progenitor of all the nonsensical coaching mutterings we've had for Cleveland over the past few years. He's speaking to the Cleveland Browns, our guys, Anderson, Kahn, Dorsey, Lazor. These are football guys. You can get away with saying this kind of stuff in L.A. or Seattle or even Charlotte, but you can't talk like this in Green Bay and Cleveland. The fans know better, and we know better. When you have the ball, you dictate what the defense is going to do. And when you have a first-round tight end who's 26 years old, been in the league for 6 years, and he's only 26, he's a first-round tight end, he's 6'4", 250 pounds. I love what he does after he catches the ball. And you have not only invested a first-round draft pick in him, you turned around 5 years later and gave him $54 million. We're going to force this ball to this player. We're going to get him involved and keep him involved. And we have the two best running back, the 1-2 tandem of running backs in all the league, which we're going to draw in the linebackers. And we're going to force the defense to put another linebacker on the field or to try to cover the Njoku with a slot corner. We don't really care how they line up. Should have been the answer of this coach. And, you know, he's got a better resume than I do, but this is somewhat nonsensical. And I would say just wait. I would say Brissett, and without Brissett, just wait for Watson to come back. They'll make sure this tight end gets the ball. But Brissett's taking ownership of this team. I kind of like where he's going.
I'll tell you this. He may have a more impressive resume than you, Farrell, but one thing you never did was blow a 2-touchdown lead in the final 2 minutes against the New York Jets. You've never done that, to the best of my knowledge. Well, so you do have that feather in your cap.
Series of unfortunate events.
It was. Matt LaFleur said today that Romeo Doubs is, quote, going to have to take more of a load this week. We already know Sammy Watkins isn't playing. Alan Lazard and Christian Watson practiced Wednesday. They didn't practice on Thursday. They both came back to practice on Friday. And so they're banged up a little bit. They're going down to Tampa this week. Doubs in week 2, route participation fell to 46%. Only got 3 targets, 2 of them for catch, 2 catches for 27 yards. The question here is, knowing that Lazard and Christian Watson didn't do a ton last week, and now they're banged up, and knowing that there's no Sammy Watkins this week, is Romeo Doubs sneaking in, or should he sneak in on any FFPC lineups as a second flex this week?
Well, he should, and he is a player that plays physically. He can win at the contested ball. He can high point the ball. I love what this player does. He's the most, as far as I could tell, even though he was drafted later in the draft, he came to the league as most sure-handed, physical, and NFL-ready wide receiver. And I would, with a quarterback, with the accuracy success that Rodgers is, I think this is a perfect opportunity for the player to have a big game. Yeah, he'd be in my lineup.
Yeah, and I think this is interesting because I was telling people that this guy's not even roster worthy. This is a run-heavy team, that, and he's number four behind Cobb, who's probably going to miss with an illness. I don't know what's going around the NFL right now, but he's got an illness that he's dealing with. Lazard is banged up. Watson's banged up. Watkins is already out. This could be primetime Romeo Doubs, and of course I'm missing out on it because I don't have him anywhere. I let everybody else draft him. So obviously don't take my drafting advice, my team management advice, but take the advice of our guest who I'm going to bring on right now. He lives his life by the F system: family, faith, friends, fishing, food, and of course, fantasy football. The latter of which he's been doing for the last 30 years. Eight high stakes league titles to his name. He has his sights set on something a little bit bigger this year, as he currently stands in second place in the chase for the $500,000 grand prize in the Football Guys Players Championship. Please welcome onto the program, making his debut, Jamie Cox. Jamie, welcome in, man.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mr. Farrell. How are you, buddy?
Hello, Mr. Jamie. How are you?
I'm great, man. Balky, thanks for asking me to come on.
Well, listen, you definitely deserve it. I mean, almost 15,000 people, and you are in second place right now. I think the biggest question is how jealous is your son, Travis, that you're on and that he's not?
He is traveling back from Florida, probably listening as we speak. So,
bragging rights in the Cox household. Hey, Balky, before you ask your first question, I want to tell you something about our guest. You know, when I first played fantasy football, I walked into a draft room and I sat down, and I, to my right, was a congenial gentleman known as Jamie Cox. And that's many, many years ago, and we've been friends ever since. Tonight, when you played the Quiet Hollers pressure song leading into our broadcast, I can tell you there were many a times when the Quiet Hollers were collecting fans to attend their shows, and Jamie Cox would show up and bring a crew with him. And whenever needed, I call upon Jamie Cox, and he always answers that call. He's a great contributor to our fantasy football culture, and just an all-around great guy. And I'm honored that he is on the show, and I'm even more thrilled that I can call him a friend. And you know what? I even have a head-to-head matchup for against him in the main event this week. And I'm going to send him back to concentrating on his Football Guys team.
I appreciate that, Carl.
Jamie, this is, we already mentioned Travis. When you are not this close to winning 500 grand in the Football Guys Players Championship, you and your son have quite the business going on, don't you?
Yeah, we have we have a lot of things going, and we're very blessed and fortunate to be in an industry that we've kind of really just spread out and done some different things and continue to do so. And we're really, you know, proud of what we've been able to accomplish and work hard to help people. And it's really rewarded us.
And I think it's important that if you are looking for any place in the, Western Kentucky area to hang out in, not Western Kentucky.
No, we're in Louisville, Balky. We're straight down 65. So you leave Wisconsin, Balky, and you drive straight. You don't go east. You go straight south.
Be honest with you guys. I'm a math guy, not a geography guy. So this is
gotcha. Yeah.
But that is where you are the person to talk to, not only about that, but of course about loading up on Bills, Farrell.
Oh, buddy, you know.
I'm not talking about invoices. I'm talking about Buffalo Bills on your fantasy rosters. Just to clarify.
I didn't want to, you know, he always picks up the Bills. Another reason that he's truly loved. You stacked Buffalo Bills. How genius you were to do this. I went into a lot of football guys, and I asked when people draft a stack, especially when it's successful, I always ask the same question. Is it intentional? Did you start saying, I'm going to go in and get all these Bills players? Or is it something that just sort of comes to you in the draft? I have a draft where I ended up with 11 of the players being Jaguars and Raiders. And you know what? So far, it's working. I think you're always going to be in good shape with Buffalo Bills, and how thrilled you must be going forward with this team. It's Diggs, it's Allen, it's Singletary, it's the kicker, it's the defense. Was it purposeful? Is that something you tried to do throughout your football guys' teams?
Well, what I've done, when I get Diggs or, you know, if I get Chase, you know, I want to match the quarterback up if I can. Allen is a little different than some of the other, you know, combos because you have to spend the third round pick on him. And so there's a couple of times that I got Diggs and I made sure I tried to get Allen. Then when it comes down, it's like I'm, you know, Farrell, you know me, I love receivers. And so I always try to get receivers. And then you see Singletary or somebody like that sitting there and it's like, hey, he'll catch the ball too, you know. And then when you're down, way down, it's like, why wouldn't you go ahead and get the defense and the kicker?
I mean, that matchup.
Why wouldn't you? Because the Bills are going to put so much pressure on teams that, you know, hey, when you're down 30 points, you're throwing interceptions and getting sacked, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, it was intentional, and I tried to do that a couple of times. I didn't do it as, you know, well every time as I did in that particular team, but it is intentional. I always like having defenses on high-scoring teams. I got the Eagles a lot everywhere because they're going to put up a lot of points and – that, you know, I played the Chiefs in the past and all that. So, yeah, it's very intentional all the way down to the defense.
Jamie, just curiously, I know you loaded up on Bills in this specific football guys draft that you're in second place in. Did you do that with any other teams besides the Bills this year in any of your other drafts?
I have built a couple of teams where I had Bills, and then I have a couple of teams where I have a lot of teams where I have Bengals. I'm a Bengals fan.
Okay.
You know, so load up on the Bengals. I've also did the same thing with whenever I get Jefferson, I get Irv Smith, and I get Cousins. Uh-huh. So I do that as well. So
that team is currently not second.
That team's not second.
Like third or fourth, somewhere around there.
But that team will get right this week because I think our Vikings are going to get right this week. So
I think so too. And I think that's going to be a fun game to watch. And speaking of that game that I think is going to be a shootout between the Vikings and the Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown to Jamie Cox in the sixth round. Now, this isn't it's kind of an outlier, but not really, because this guy obviously went way lower than what his production has dictated so far. Mm-hmm. What did we, as FFPC, as KFFSC, as football guys drafters, what did we miss on with Amon-Ra St. Brown this year, and how can we avoid doing this again?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he had a strong, you know, second half of the season. The last six games, he put up a lot of points because of injuries. You know, Swift was out, all the receivers were hurt, and he got peppered with targets. And they signed, you know, DJ Shark this year, Swift's back, you know, it's so I think it was like, was that what the norm's going to be, or was that out of a reaction of there just was nobody else to throw the ball to? So I think that's a combination of that. And then he's not a great big guy. He's, you know, all that. So it's like, how much can, and Goff ain't a great quarterback. I mean, I'm not trying to talk about, you know, bad quarterbacks in this league, but so it's, you can see where somebody like that would go under the radar a little bit, and he fell. And I couldn't believe it when in the six, I was like, there is no way he comes to me. And I jumped on it. Of course.
I added St. Brown everywhere I could. I finally was the gospel of St. Brown was read to me by my beloved cousin, Stacy Perez. And finally she just sort of shook a little faith into me. Huh. And thank goodness I took it. And followed him in the drafts where I could be more like Jamie Cox. I was a lot like Jamie Cox also in choosing Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. And, you know, You just got to love Jerry Jones. You know, as soon as the Dak injury and Jerry Jones comes on camera, and you know, it's like we've called the priest and we're having last rites and everything's over with. And the next day I said, well, you know, I got to start looking at the fact that I'm going to have to release Dak Prescott. And then there was a miraculously healing Dak Prescott. And so he's on all my teams. I'm hoping that he comes back ready to play with no ill effects and falls back into a Dallas offense that really is clicking. And Jamie, what's your thoughts? Did you ever think about making a move at quarterback? Because there's some good ones out there.
Yeah,
there's some scoring quarterbacks that went undrafted. I've got a couple of Dak teams with three quarterbacks on them now. What's been your move?
I have not cut Dak. And the reason I did not go into the fantasy football year thinking I cannot wait to draft Dak Prescott. But my strategy is always, you know, usually if I don't get Allen early in a few of them, I'm going all the way down to the 12th round. And Dak just kept falling and kept falling and kept falling. So Cousins and Dak's on a lot of my teams. That said, you know, everybody else had all those better quarterbacks. So all you can do is go out and grab a Marcus Mariota or somebody off the waiver wire to help that. But Dak's playoff schedule is not bad if he does come back. You know, so just I'm just kind of waiting to see. I mean, if you draft that late, the better ones are gone. So,
yeah.
Mariota and Jared Goff were my Prescott replacements. And Matt Ryan. But we're moving on. because I think everybody should be after that Jacksonville. Jamie, I'm just looking at your draft when we talk about Amon Ross St. Brown, and you say, well, there's no way he comes back to me at the 603. You took Judy in the fifth round, mm-hmm. and then team 11. So you had two teams that you had to avoid them picking Amon Ross St. Brown. Team 11 went with T.J. Hockenson or Rashad Bateman. Okay, yeah, I mean, Hockenson's mm-hmm. not been great, but Bateman's mm-hmm. made a few plays so far. But, man. Team 12, they passed on Amon-Ra St. Brown on both their picks to take Darnell Mooney and Elijah Mitchell. And then yeah. I'm telling you, this is how razor thin sometimes yeah. this competition is, because yeah. that guy has just got to be kicking himself.
No doubt about it.
He took six players not named Amon-Ra St. Brown, including Mooney and Mitchell at the turn there. Okay.
And Balky, let me add something real quick, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
One of the keys to that team so far is I drafted all the football guys way early in August. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't draft again until we drafted live in Vegas. It's interesting, you know, the contrast, because Judy's stock was higher, then it went down, the Suttons went up, and then Amon's went up. And so it's interesting when you guys have all these leagues available, it's fun to see what you can do early, because you can get some values like that if you draft early.
This team was drafted 25 days, I want to say, if my math's right. I am a math guy, not a geography guy. 25 days before the Sunday kickoff of week one. This was August 17th that you had drafted this team, where you get and that's I always encourage early drafting, middle drafting, late drafting, because you can always build different teams with different values based on ADP always changing, which you took advantage of there. So congratulations. Kenneth Gainwell, I noticed, is on several of your teams as well, including this one. You got him in, looks like, round 10 in this draft. So I'm just curious, if Miles Sanders ever were to miss, and let's face it, Miles Sanders probably has his own television and pillow and everything in the training room. If he does miss, is Kenneth Gainwell an automatic top 25 start for you? And because of that, you have to find a way to keep him on your roster all season?
Absolutely. I think so, because, well, here's the thing. If you looked at what he finished up last year, was he caught the ball and, you know, he started off slow and he caught the ball. And then this year there was a lot of talk about him getting goal line back carries. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if nothing else, he's a flex. And let's be, you know, real. Miles Sanders hasn't solidified anything. He's playing great right now, but why not? You know, I mean, that was the guy, that's the young guy that come in and did show some spark last year. And when you start talking goal line too, why not?
Jamie, so
I had him multiple times.
Just curious, Steve Farrell, I know you want to ask him about Irv Smith, but the running backs that you targeted in that spot, right? Sort of like these mid round running backs that are one injury away or, you know, just need the opportunity. Besides Gainwell, did you get any others in those middle rounds that that you're going to make sure you keep on your roster as long as you can. I noticed also on this team you have Zamir White. Maybe you could deploy him out this week as well. So he's another guy. But what about some of your other teams?
I got Madison. You know, Madison's a league winner if Cook goes down long term. I like to get an anchor back. I like to get some receiving backs or goal line backs, and then I like to get what I call game, you know, league winners. If they're thrown in there for multiple weeks, they can take over and win the league. So yeah, Zamir White was one of those. I mean, they didn't re-sign Jacobs, and you know, there's talk about him. You know, he's never really solidified that role. You know, you get some new meat in there. I mean, so maybe this week, who knows if he goes out and throws some juice this week, who knows? I mean, Jacobs is not that regime's running back. And so taking chances like that. Yeah. Late ball key. I try to get me some receivers that's who I'm playing. And then in one of the main events, I drafted five receivers in the first five rounds. Deontay Johnson fell to me, and I was like, and I was getting Hilaire so late. I was getting Edmonds, and I was getting people like that. I'm like, hell, I'll just take him too. You know, Pittman misses last week. No big deal. I got four.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But yeah, getting some of those hero backs, you know, late's always been a strategy.
You know, I started my Odyssey of Football Guys drafting on July 4th, and then I finished it. Exiting the plane, which arrived late, so I was drafting while retrieving my car from the parking garage in Louisville upon returning home on a Saturday night before the main event. And you know, there's something that I didn't do between July 4th and that fateful Saturday night in September was draft any Irv Smith. And no catches on two targets in week one does not surprise me for Irv Smith. And he showed some things in this last game while they were being embarrassed by Philadelphia. He showed he had a few moves, especially as Cousins moved around and coverage broke down. Who is the real Irv Smith, Jamie? Keep it real for us, because I don't believe you can have a league winner with Irv Smith at tight end. Yeah, I'm just not an Irv Smith guy. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. If you look what he was doing before he got hurt, and then I think he was a top 10. He was playing in top 10 or top 12 before he got hurt.
Right.
And then he gets hurt and he's forgotten. And Conklin played a little bit last year and all that, he's forgotten. If you saw the other night when he does catch the ball, and he did miss an easy pass that was a lot of yards in front of him, but he is pretty quick for his size, and he does move well, like you say. Yeah. And then, hey, man, when you got two great receivers like that, you got a running back out there. I mean, that middle ground, Cousins checkdowns, that's where he's going to live.
Let me ask you some quick questions. You took Smith over Higbee.
Yep.
You took Smith. You took Smith over Gesicki, obviously.
Yeah.
So you had Smith figured as a top 12. You said he's going to be a top 12 tight end. I just don't know if that satisfies me enough. I would say I would agree with you, but I think you might need more at the position. But you know, that's just me. You love receivers. I love tight end, and we will probably continue that debate until death does us part.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of Irv Smith's game logs from the last full season he had. He actually started off pretty quiet. Then he had a couple of games, 5 for 64, 5 for 55. Then he went quiet, but then he had for like two games, then he had 63 yards, 37 yards, 53 yards, 30 yards, and he got into the end zone five times in 2020 as well. And this is his second year in the league. So I think there is something there. How big is it? How significant is it? That's what we're trying to figure out right now.
Every other week he plays at the library. He's so quiet.
Yeah, that could be accurate. Yeah, another great cliche that I've never heard before. You only get on the high
school. Farrell's full of them.
Right, exactly.
I've been listening to them for years.
And there's always a new one, Jamie. You always hear one that you've never heard before. Devontae Parker is a guy that I was pretty happy when I got him late in a bunch of drafts. I'm like, God, this guy could be the number one for New England. Now, not only does he not look like the number one, he looks like the number three at best. And this is a team that's struggling offensively and doesn't throw the ball a ton. How much leeway are you giving him to keep him on your roster, Jamie? Or have you already dumped him in a bunch of your spots?
I got him a lot because of he's another one. If you look when he played in Miami, even with bad quarterbacks, he produced. Belichick is notorious for bringing in somebody on the cheap that has talent and you know, taking advantage of that, exploiting it. There was talk of him being the number one. And when you can get him again, a 10, 12, 13, 14th round, who cares? You know, I played him in one league, I think, or maybe two, and he didn't. Now, the first week he had six targets and two or three of them were in the end zone. So, and then last week he just did not do anything. And you know, Myers and Aguilar, you know, done all of it. So yeah, I am not, if there was somebody on the waiver wire that I thought that I'd like to have and take a shot at, even a good defense, yes, I'd got him.
Okay. Got it.
I'm consulting the rule sheet for how many points you get for a target. I'll get back to you.
Now that's not Farrell, this is not the first time you've brought up this whole, you know, passive aggressive comment on targets. Like you
have targets is not your friend.
Targets is what Farrell grinds his axe on every single
The next thing the next thing we'll talk about is he's on the field. You know, it's play, snap count.
Games played. That's another that's another stat.
That's hilarious.
He is on the field. You know, and I would accuse Jamie of Steel Waters running deep, but he is a Wildcat fan, not a Louisville Cardinal fan from where Mr. Parker is in it. Hey, I drafted Keenan Allen in a couple drafts. Yep. Yeah, you're glad to have him. You talk about a guy that's 100 catches. 6 to 8 touchdowns. You can count on that when he is healthy. He's not healthy. Mm-hmm. With the quarterback talent, whoever steps in for him, you can believe in. Palmer, I think, has a role when Allen is not playing. Carter even has a role, and he's worked hard to get it. But let's focus on Palmer because that's where everyone spent their draft capital. Would you move him in front of guys that you would typically play because Allen is not there this weekend?
Well, if Herbert's playing, it sounds like Herbert might not play. So if Herbert's not playing, I ain't playing Palmer or anybody.
No. You'll still play Eckler though, right?
Oh, you have to do that. Yeah. You have to play your first round guy. And I mean, heck, he might actually run the ball for a change. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. But it would be great.
Yeah, they might give him some carries. Hey, carries is not, you don't get points for carries, but you know what? They're important.
Well, yeah, that's the only way you get yardage is if you get carries. They're tied together.
But yeah, I think that I think for me, I got Allen in, I think, one league and out of all the leagues I drafted, and he's been declining for the last 3 years. Yes, he's still producing, but his a lot of his metrics are coming down. So there again, next in line is a young second year receiver. So why not? Late, why not?
I'm looking at your squad that you have lined up for week three here, Jamie, and you have Josh Palmer in the flex. You have Dalton Schultz as your tight end, but the stars could be aligning here for you because you have Albert Okwuepunam on your bench and he doesn't play till Sunday night. So you're going to have a lot of information in front of you about Dalton Schultz status, who doesn't play until Monday night. You can easily put him in. And then if Herbert is out, I guess we won't know that until game time, but we'll probably find something on Sunday morning. You could easily bench Palmer and put in Zamir White if Josh Jacobs doesn't play. So you're kind of all set here. Even with having Palmer and Schultz in your lineup right now, right? Is that the plan? Right.
Yeah. Just seeing what's happening. I mean, it's still, you know, it's Friday night. I mean, we'll see what happens as these injury reports come out and Herbert and all that. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy, you have on your bench on Sunday night football too. So.
He's going to stay there. He'll be there all Sunday night.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, not even a question. Perfect. A couple of emails here, Jamie, for you. The first one is from Jim in Fruta, Colorado. Hey, Jamie, I'm not sure if you have Ezekiel Elliott anywhere, but do I need to be seriously considering benching him on a week-to-week basis rather than have him being an automatic start going forward? That's Jim in Fruta, Colorado. I feel like we've gotten this email probably two or three times a year for the last 3 years. And we know there's Pollard truthers out there that just absolutely love Tony Pollard. However, one of them is not Mike McCarthy, and he still rolls out Ezekiel Elliott a ton. Now, going forward, knowing the volume that Elliott continues to get in Dallas, is he still an automatic start for you? Is he the type of guy that you set it and forget it, he's in there? Or is this a guy you only play matchups now?
he's become Josh Jacobs. He's going to get 50 yards and you hope he scores, or he's mm-hmm. going to get 70 yards. He might get occasionally break that 100 yard barrier, but you know, the Pollard coming in and having more juice and taking away some of the receptions. I don't have Zeke on a single lineup and a single team. I everybody was saying, you know, down in the fourth, he's value at the fourth. It just wasn't for me. And Pollard in the eighth, ninth, 10th, this made more sense to me.
I certainly wouldn't play him this weekend. I think he struggled with New York Giants on the road for a long time. I do think we'll see him catch some passes, though. But Jamie, you're right. It's been 14 games since Zeke has had a 100-yard game. But when he starts catching those passes and when he finds those end zones, I believe we will be back in business with Zeke. But, yeah, Pollard is coming off a fantastic game.
Question in the chat right now. Donk Crypto wants to know, how much fab would you bid on David Njoku in a football guys league on a team he needs a tight end on? He said a couple of people dropped him early and he couldn't believe it. I could believe it after the first week when he's just blocking the whole time, or blocking his rear end off, as Kevin Stefanski so eloquently put it. But you're looking at David Njoku as a free agent in some leagues right now in football guys. If you need a tight end, you probably got to go pretty heavy on him, Jamie, right?
Oh, you'd probably, 25% of your fab or something, or, you know.
And I don't even know if you get him at that point after this.
I don't know
week.
If you get him. I mean, that's a minimum. I mean, you're going to have to throw a couple of $100 out there of your fab. But I'm not, I don't know. I mean, if you totally need it, then yeah. But I'm like Farrell. I think that Brissett's going to, do some things and he's okay. But man, if Watson comes back, he's going to be a lot more valuable. But he has to keep doing what he's doing too. He's another one, the tight end position, as we know, if you don't have Kelce or Andrews or something, I mean, it's week to week and it's big games and lack of production for it. So, but yeah, I would probably think the minimum is going to be 25% of your fab.
Farrell, what do you think on Njoku bidding?
I would imagine that you should behave as if you were at the Bellagio on the craps table at 3 a.m. and you needed about $800 to get even, because, that's what I think you should spend on Njoku. I think you ought to really discourage anyone else from even having a chance at him. Spend your big money, and then, you can manage. You don't have to worry so much about managing with Fab the rest of the year with this.
Yeah.
$10 bids.
That's the David.
You'll get Mac Collins for a dollar.
That's the David Hubbard approach to fab management, where he has all these teams and he blows so much of his money early that there's fewer. It's like, what am I supposed to do? I can't make moves on all these teams. I'm all out of money, Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't.
If you got it, spend it.
You got it, spend it. Yep, exactly. Yeah. Let's go down to Savannah, Georgia. John writes, I'm down Mike Evans and probably Hunter Renfro. Well, officially, I think you're down Hunter Renfro. And Julio Jones. Now, he's a probably guy, but I don't think he's going to play. Is Mac Hollins worth a pickup and a start on Sunday? Thanks, Jamie. That's John in Savannah, Georgia. Okay, so clearly this dude is down, probably his number one or two receiver, probably his four receiver, and I'm guessing his fifth or sixth receiver. Mac Hollins, are you starting him given? And you think about what he did in that last game with all those targets he got. I don't know if Davante Adams is as quiet as a library football player, as I think I got that analogy right, that Farrell had before. Playing in the library. That's how quiet his performance was. Mac Hollins, you rolling the dice on him this week now that we know that Renfro is out?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad play. I don't think that's a bad play at all. I think and there's probably some others out there that you can pick up on the waiver wire, but if that's who you got on your bench and you got them injuries, absolutely.
Farrell, you're the Raiders expert here. Mac Hollins is a second flex.
Well, I got to give a shout out to our boy Travis Cox, because we'll be watching games together over the last few years, and Travis will say, hey, that's my guy. I said, no, that's Mac Hollins. Travis, who is Mac Hollins? And we've seen him play at Philadelphia. You guys are celebrating Irv Smith's touchdowns. Mac Hollins scored six touchdowns last year. Balky, you can look that up.
Yeah.
On 15 catches, he's a red zone target, but he's also a great middle of the field target. This is a player without a team. A player without a quarterback, everywhere he goes, the front office loves him and the coach gets fired. I think he's found a home. I think he'll be a good complimentary piece in a 5,000-yard offense, and he has value once the waiver wire or once the bye week period start. And fortunately, I picked him up everywhere that I thought I could on our first waiver wire of the week, and I got to go back and see if he's available some places. But he's a very good player, very good ball pitch, catcher, very good target.
I didn't look at
Farrell. If there's a low hanging fruit of anybody that wears the silver and black, Farrell has them on this team. I mean,
I was delighted when the Raiders signed him, and they also signed another very good receiver that should be playing somewhere else in the league, and that's Keelan Cole. Keelan Cole's a very good receiver.
He's a very good, yeah, he's a good player. Yeah.
And so, you know, if Tampa had chosen some of these receivers earlier in the year, they'd be in a different place this weekend than they are.
That's right. That's right. But Cole Beasley's going to come save the day. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A 33-year-old slot guy is going to come. Yes. And you know what? I'm not even going to say that, because here's what I'm going to say officially as a Green Bay Packers fan, not wanting to jinx his team in Tampa. I think Cole Beasley's super talented. I think he's proven this time and time again. Would not surprise me at all if he went out there, caught 12 passes, including the game-winning touchdown. You heard it here first. I'm pro Cole Beasley, not jinxing the Packers.
Jinxed all that, Bob.
I'm fresh out of emails for Jamie Farrell. I believe we have one last question for Jamie.
Jamie, this is my favorite question leading into the season, and now it's my favorite question that we get to ask you about set and start. You've got a lot of strengths in your fantasy game, and one of them has always been to get the right guy in the lineup. So I'd like to know who the right guy is this week, the sleeper. You've already talked about Hollins and a couple other guys, but I got to figure you have another one. And we've already talked about Zeke, a guy you normally would but would not start this week. Can you give us a couple others?
I'm looking for DK Metcalf to have a big week. I think DK's playing a Falcons secondary that's given up, I think, the second or third most points to wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And I think he's really connected, with Smith. And I think that's going to be a good one. I think Zamir White, I mean, it looks to me like, you know, the 45-year-old Bowden will be the receiving back, and White's going to have a chance. I mean, he's going to have he's going to at least get some run. There's a couple other people out there that, that Doolin kid in Indianapolis, that kid is he was undrafted, but he's a man child. I mean, he's big and he's fast. And so there's a lot of places like that you can go, especially coming up soon now with the bye weeks and all that. There's still talent out there. I mean, there's always going to be, you always got to play that waiver wire and always got to know what's out there and scour that waiver wire. But I would say those, I think Zamir White and Metcalf, they'll probably be in my lineups. Metcalf usually is, but I did bench Metcalf last week.
So, the interesting thing about Metcalf, and I don't think we brought this up, is Pete Carroll said earlier this week that kind of unprompted a little bit too in the press conference, is like, we need to get DK Metcalf more involved downfield. And he said downfield because I feel like Geno Smith, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but his completion percentage is like 170%. It's insane. He's completing passes he's not even throwing right now. But part of the reason for that is because he's getting DK Metcalf on these little dink and dunks, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It'll move the chains. But this guy's a supreme talent, and he needs to be getting the ball downfield. And I think you're right, Jamie. I think this is a week where they do make a proactive attempt to try to pump the ball downfield for him. And instead of getting, 7 for 40, maybe he has something like, 6 for 110 and 2 touchdowns or something.
Yeah. This week.
Not predicting that, but it's well within the realm of possibilities. Is there any player that is, a highly drafted player or highly ranked player that you're kind of bearish on this week that, maybe you're still starting, but you're lowering expectations on him?
We don't know what's going to happen with Pittman coming back and Chiefs are coming to town. We don't know what's going to happen there. You have to play him. I mean, he's coming, but look at Farrell's looking like, why are you talking about Pittman? He's another one. but honestly, this Doolin kid on the other side, if they're going to ease Pittman back or something, I just don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out. And
what he's saying to you, Balky, is Ezekiel Elliott is on a very lonely island.
Yeah. Now that makes sense. Just real quick, Jamie, I know that was supposed to be the last question, but Hudson Turn-Reeve just brought this up in the chat, and I think this is worth talking about because I don't think we have yet. James Conner is officially a game time decision for Arizona, and he thinks Darrell Williams could be interesting. When I looked at the snap counts and the touches last week, I feel like they're pretty similar, although Williams, I think, did get the touchdown. He was getting goal line. Is he the Cardinals running back you would choose if you had your pick between Williams and Benjamin? Or would you kind of say, forget this, I'm only getting half a running back because they're going to split the touches this weekend?
Well, in fantasy, as you guys know, you always got to look and see who's going to protect a quarterback, who's going to be the best blocker. And Williams is by far the veteran there. I would play Williams over Benjamin all day long.
Farrell, Williams over Benjamin for you as well?
Oh, easy. That's an easy choice. And, you know, it's not every day that the Ivy League professor that you get thrown a softball by the Ivy League professor. I wonder if it's that way in class with him. You know,
Softball. Hudson only asks the tough questions because he has the best students in the world at Cornell University. And we always ask the tough questions on this show, especially tonight, because we have the best guest in the world. And that's Jamie Cox, the second place team in the Football Guys Players Championship heading into week 3. Jamie, what a pleasure. So much fun to catch up with you. Always appreciate seeing you in Vegas and in Kentucky and everywhere we can catch up. I always appreciate that. Good luck the rest of the way. Hopefully at the end of the season, you're getting $500,000 from the FFPC and Football Guys. And we'll have you back on here to tell us how you're going to spend it on me and Farrell.
I hope that happens. Yes. Nice things will happen to you guys.
All right. Excellent. Glad to hear it. Jamie, enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Enjoy week 3. Good luck the rest of the way, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for asking me on and appreciate the show and appreciate all you guys, what all you guys do.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jamie. Jamie Cox, ladies and gentlemen, the second place team. God, I'm mixing it up now. Second place team heading into week 3 is what I meant to say of the Football Guys Players Championship. Still a long way to go, but as I always say to anybody who comes onto the show early in the season, I don't care if it's week 1, week 8, week 15, week 17. The fact that you are up this high over so many thousands of other teams is an accomplishment. You should be proud of it. And I should hang your hat on it, and as I know Jamie will, but I know he would much rather be in second place heading into week 17 rather than heading into week 3. Let's get into some emails here, Farrell. Okay. I'm going to do about five minutes worth of emails here. We probably won't get to all of them. My apologies.
Let's go quick.
Mike in Cranston, Rhode Island. You got it. I was super excited to draft Darnell Mooney this year, but I'm having buyer's remorse. Do I sit him this week in favor of Jacoby Myers? Wonder if Mike in Cranston, Rhode Island was team 12 in Jamie Cox's Football Guys draft. Not out of the question there. Jacoby Myers over Darnell Mooney this week, Farrell. Where do you stand on that? I'm just looking at this. Darnell Mooney is at home against the Houston Texans, a really, really good matchup. And then, of course, Jacoby Myers gets a banged-up Ravens secondary at home this week as well.
I don't know how good that matchup is because the Houston defense is improving. Let me just give you quickly. We said we'd go quick. Justin Fields has thrown 28 passes in 2 games, and they have not been impressive. Jacoby Myers has had 19 targets in 2 games, and he has been impressive. He's the alpha receiver for the New England Patriots. This is the easiest question we'll ever get. Jacoby Myers, I think, may be having some physical aspects, but Balky, did he practice today? Is he going
to play? I was just going to tell you this, and this is what seals the deal for me. Did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. He did practice Friday. He's listed as questionable. I'm firing him up over Darnold.
Yep. Jacoby Myers goes in your lineup, and Mooney, I wish he would do something. I have him in one league, a dynasty league, and I've given him away for nothing. I want to trade him for
that. I'm getting so many questions this week. Oh, should I trade Derrick Henry? And like, no, don't trade him now. Wait till he has, 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's when you sell him for 70 cents on the dollar. Mike in Tallahassee. Hey, guys, is this the week Robert Tonyan breaks out? If not, is Mike Gesicki the smart play instead? Thanks so much. That's Mike in Tallahassee. Gesicki is in that potential shootout with Miami and Buffalo coming up at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Total on that is up to 53, and the Dolphins are giving away – I beg your pardon, are getting 5.5 points at home. The total is much lower in the Packers-Buccaneers game, a total of 42 there. But remember how banged up all those Packers receivers are, Farrell. Mm-hmm.
The secondary and the defense is challenged in Buffalo because of the injuries that they've encountered, both in the short week and in practice. So I would Gesicki is not a favorite choice because he runs hot and cold, and there's a lot of tight end competition. I favor Gesicki here if we're in that kind of a situation where those are your two tight ends, consult the waiver wire. If not, go with Gesicki.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's going to be out there in your waiver wire, but I'm not a huge Gesicki guy normally like you are, mm-hmm. Farrell. But I look at the total. I look at what he did last week, and it probably wouldn't take many more than a few plays to get him over what Robert Tonyan's going to do this week. So I'm going to lean towards Gesicki here as well. Dear Farrell and Balky, I know he's been more a miss than a hit. So would you roll the dice and start Devontae Smith over Jeff Wilson in week 3? That's Eddie in Abington, Illinois. Jeff Wilson is up against the Denver Broncos in the Mile High City this week, as his San Francisco 49ers are 1.5-point favorites on the road. That's interesting. And then the other one, Devontae Smith, that high-powered Eagles offense takes its talents to our nation's capital to take on the Commanders in that matchup, 47.5-point total. Boy, I love the – I think I'm going to go with the volume here. I'm going to trust the volume and Jeff Wilson over Devontae Smith, who's had a really good week 2 and a really bad week 1.
Devontae Smith's a player that we're going to play here because we like the flex, Balky. We like a wide receiver in the flex when we can get it. And this guy's got tremendous upside. In Denver, what they do have going for them is a stingy rush defense. Now, I'm a big Wilson fan, and now that he's got his quarterback, Garoppolo, it's going to elevate anyone who got in business with San Francisco 49ers at our draft. I think about how Kittle at the Main Event Live was dropping into the 6th round. How wonderful it is now to have been able to get those Niners at bargain prices. Jeff Wilson, this player's got – I understand what he's doing because he's got a player here that he now believes in and knows he got him on the cheap late in the draft or on the waiver wire, and he wants to get him in a lineup. Over Smith is not the right move, though, I don't think.
We had a question earlier in the YouTube chat, and I said we would get to it. Hudson Kern Reeve, the professor, asks, Tua Tagovailoa, a QB1 in FFPC now. Let's take it a step further, thanks to Chuck in Raleigh's email. I'm a little ashamed to be asking this, but is Tua Tagovailoa in my lineup this week over the GOAT at quarterback? Appreciate you. That's Chuck in Raleigh. Farrell, I always talk about how I'm a weak man, how I can't make decisions like this, and how I can't envision. I feel like I said this on my local fantasy show yesterday. I said, I feel like the kiss of death for me is saying to start Jared Goff over Tom Brady this week. So I'm not going to say it. I already said I'm playing Brady over Goff. However, really, really, really difficult for me to say, yeah, I'm still playing Brady over Tua Tagovailoa. In fact,
I'm going to say
Tagovailoa in that shootout over Brady this week.
You don't want to do that because you've now seen the possibility and the ceiling of these two tremendous receivers and the support players around in the Miami Dolphins. Plus, they're at home against a team that is beat up. We've talked about where they are defensively and who is coming off a pretty emotional big win where they weren't really tested. This is Tua's game this weekend. You talk about your Packers, Balky. Why do you not want to play Brady? Well, you know, the Packers are 27th in rush defense. You saw what Montgomery did to them in the last game. It was the only thing Chicago had going, and you have to understand with what they're going to try to get done with Fournette there in Tampa, and I think they're going to get the game over rather quickly using ball control and short passes and keep Aaron Rodgers on the bench for the Buccaneers win.
I think, and I did predict I think the Buccaneers do win. I think I had a final score of 21-20 in that Tampa Green Bay game in favor of Tampa. But I think you're right. You know, I did, and by the way, just a shameless plug that'll do again in a couple minutes on the Better Sports Network on Wednesday nights when I broadcast there. Get the app for sure. That's the best place to watch the show. But you can also watch it on YouTube and Twitter. But I had Devin Knotts on from Football Guys, who is a weekly a DFS expert. And we were talking, and he plays a lot of season long too, but we were talking about this. And he says, I keep looking at this game and it's just screaming at me. This is a Fournette game. And if it's a Fournette game, it's probably not a Brady game. And that's why I think you got to go with Tagovailoa over Brady. Final email this week is from Bruce in Lorain, Ohio. Do I play? Not only did I used to date a Lorraine, she was from Lorraine.
Lorraine.
Do I play Cam Akers or Damian Harris this week, guys? You two are my tiebreakers, so we officially have to agree on this. Because if we disagree, Farrell, it's not going to help Bruce. This is interesting because both these guys are in sort of a timeshare, and I don't know if I read that Damian Harris came up limping on his final carry last week.
He did.
And then, of course, because the Patriots are so clandestine with all their injuries, we never found out anything about this. As far as I know, he's going to be good to go. But Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson, they went from, like, you know, we thought Akers would be like this, Henderson would be like this. Then they flip-flopped. I know you did. But then they flip-flopped, okay, like this. And now they're much closer together. So I look at Akers and Damian Harris as two kind of wild cards. And I don't really know what to expect from these guys. I lean towards, and I should bring this up too right now. The Patriots, I already said, they are at home against the Baltimore Ravens. That game is a total of 44. And then the other one, Cam Akers, beg your pardon, is playing this week at Arizona, 48.5 point game, 48.5 point total, where the Rams are giving away 3.5 points. I lean towards Akers here. That's probably who I would go with over Harris.
I'm going to second that. And it has to do with completely with the opposition. I'm not sold on Arizona despite their street ball comeback against the Raiders. I think that was a coincidental, and I think they'll fall back into form with the stalled offense. The Rams will lead in the fourth quarter, and Akers and Henderson will join forces to salt that game away for a passing attack in L.A. that's yet to get is yet to click, that's yet to go.
Farrell, normally I would say let's wrap up the show right now, but one of the things that you wanted to talk about this week, and I'll give you the floor here, guy that we both met in Las Vegas this year at Planet Hollywood for the first time, that is a big fan of us, a big fan of our show, big fan of the FFPC. He's been coming out there for years, and I can't believe it's the first time I ever met him. I can't remember if you met him before, but I do think you wanted to say something about Maurice Jenkins this week.
I did. I wanted to welcome to the show last week. He was in the chat room, and I don't know. I have had my chat turned off. I don't know if Maurice is there, but Maurice, it was wonderful to meet you and your associate there at Planet Hollywood. I told Maurice if he came to Kentucky, he was going to have a Kentucky name, so I'm changing him to Magic J. That's his Kentucky name. And I wanted to let him know that he'll have a name tag waiting with that name when he comes to Kentucky to play. He's just like the guys that we have here. He walks in into the situation and sees what needs to be done. And before we knew it, Balky, he was facilitating the league. So, you know, he's just the kind of guy you want in the room. So, Mr. Jenkins, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I appreciate your questions. And, yeah, we in regard to your commentary from last week, yes, we need to keep Jameis Winston healthy. He's like an old man with back issues. We need to get Jameis right. And yes. I think Maurice is counting on Jameis Winston this year.
And Winston, I don't know why he has a broken back. He's not even carrying that offense. It's Kamara and it's Thomas and it's Chris Olave and all these other guys. So crazy. But yeah, get well soon, Jameis. And of course, thank you so much, Maurice Jenkins, for your contributions, not only on this program, but to the FFPC this year. Farrell, it was always a pleasure with you. We will do this again next Friday. Check out the KFFSC, kffsc.com. Be good, man. We'll do this again at 10 o'clock. Week from today.
I'll be looking forward to it, Balky. You try to save up some energy for me now with your broadcast on Wednesday night on the Better Sports Network. You know, I didn't have much to do on Wednesday night, but you know, Bobcat is working that night, and so all I'm saying.
Well, I have a feeling Farrell
Elliott. I'm going to wake my agent up and see why I can't get one of these gigs.
Farrell Elliott might be making an appearance on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show. Wednesday night's coming up. So
see, I don't even need an agent. I got the deal done. You already got it. It's fantastic.
It's not what you know, it's who you know. And you know there's the best person for it, which is
me. People will be deleting that app real soon. Thank you, Balky. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Farrell. Have a good weekend, man. Farrell Elliott, the commissioner of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. I want to thank him. I want to thank Jamie Cox. I want to thank the FFPC, Rob Bryson, of course, each and every one of you for watching and listening this week. We will be back next Friday, as I said, 10, 9 Central. We'll be joined by the FFPC main event, week 2, third place team owner, Greg Link. That name sounds familiar. He was the runner-up in the Super Bracket, I believe, 4 years ago. He's won several leagues in the FFPC since then, several high-stakes leagues. So it'll be interesting to pick his brain. We'll talk to Greg Link on next Friday. If you missed it, the RotoViz high-stakes lowdown is available at rotoviz.com/podcast, as well as the video on the FFPC YouTube channel, which you're watching right now. Andrew Geller, the guilds, came on. We talked a lot about what happened in week 2 and what it means for week 3. So give that a view if you have not yet. Speaking of the RotoViz high stakes lowdown, you get 2 episodes. That's right, a bonus episode next week. So first on Tuesday, we're going to go live at 9:30 Eastern time with Rob Vieira, an 18-time FFPC main event champion. I don't even know how many hundreds of leagues he's won in the FFPC, doing very well this year, battling through some injuries. We will have him on Tuesday. Then on Thursday night, I got to check my email here and make sure I got this right. Thursday night at 7, 6 Central. So we can get this on before the Thursday night game goes off, which is a big one. I think it's I'd have to look it up, but I remember seeing it and I was like, oh God, that's going to be a great game. It's the Bengals and somebody, my apologies. If anybody wants to help me out in the chat room, that'd be great. So at 7, 6 Central, the third place team owner in the Football Guys Players Championship, the guy who's one spot behind Jamie Cox, Frank LaPrade, and he is going to join us on Thursday night. So Rob Vieira on Tuesday and Frank LaPrade on Thursday for your double dip of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown next week. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network, which I already alluded to earlier. We go live on Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central, taking you all the way up to midnight. We'll get into some FFPC waivers on there. This week's guest co-host is Thunder Dan Paglio from RotoBaller. So check that out. Myself and Dan Paglio on the Better Sports Network app, YouTube, and Twitter. That's at 10, 9 Central Wednesday night. Reminder to play the FFPC Weekly Challenge. No draft or salary cap. Just choose 10 if you're playing in the slim version, or 12 players if you're playing in the classic version. Before kickoff on Sunday, you can watch them ride through the weekend's games. Remember, only one player per team per NFL team on these. Same format as the world famous FFPC Playoff Challenge. And you can join a 30-team league, a 150-team league. Your entry fees are $35 and $200, and you can win up to 10 grand. Not a bad way to get some little weekly action going with the FFPC. Check that out, myffpc.com. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, share, and get notified so you get not only the updates of who's going to be the next guest on the HSFF Hour as we go live at 10 o'clock Fridays, but when we go at live on usually Tuesdays for the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, you'll be notified of that. And remember, you always get notified when Aiden LaCorey and Dave Terpoli go live with their FFPC Week preview show, where they analyze everything coming up in the week, help you set your lineups. That usually goes live late Friday mornings. And if you missed today's, check it out, FFPC YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/FFPC Fantasy. A lot of promotion there, but if you don't promote yourself, no one else will. Thank you so much for viewing, everybody, and listening. Your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Hey, one other thing I should mention, too. I know I've kind of been lamenting my David Njoku sits in all my leagues this week, but bear in mind that even the best fantasy players of the world, which I am far from, do not get stuff like this right all the time. In fact, if you are hitting your start sits at like a 60 or 65% rate, you are at a Hall of Fame level. So remember, even as much as you grind, as hard as you work to try to get the right guys in your lineup, even the best people are screwing it up a third of the time. Njoku, stuff like this happens. It's fantasy. You roll with the punches and you just get excited for next week. I'm already excited for Sunday. I hope you are too. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. We will be here next week at 10, 9 Central. And this YouTube channel goes live again Tuesday night with Rob Vieira. Thanks, everybody.